subtitle of my message this evening is Hope in the House of God. Hope in the House of God, Psalm 27. Now, Psalm 27 has a pivot verse, and it's a psalm that is dedicated to the hope that is to be found in the house of God. And this is applicable to us today as it was to David when he wrote it back then. The pivot verse is verse 4, where he makes a very interesting declaration. One thing. Now, you know, before I go any further in the reading of that, one thing. He considered his relationship, his presence, the hope he received in the house of God, the most important thing in the whole wide world that he would never let a thing touch. And he recognized something that far too many don't seem to understand. Yes, you are in the house of God by choice, but yours is not the only choice. For you're also in the house of God by God's choosing. And conversely, yes, you can leave the house of God by choice, but you can also leave the house of God by his choice. And he says in verse 4, one thing, number one, I have desired of God, and that will I seek. This word desired, sha'al, is actually to inquire or to earnestly go after. He said, I've earnestly gone after God. Now, why would he earnestly go after God about what we would call today being a good church member? What's that got to do with God? Thought you made up your mind, thought you made the decision, thought you came to the conclusion, thought you'd say, okay, that's it for me, this is where I belong. But that's not what's keeping you here. That is not what's keeping you here. Many people have received incredible experiences to show them where they belong and are gone. But you are not the only one who keeps you safe. Well, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Paul Peter said, before the morning was over with. He had done it three times. He said, I desire something from God. This is what I'm seeking after. That word seek, by the way, is to secure. I'm striving after. He sounded very intent on what? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. My God, he says, I want to spend the rest of my life in the house of God, and I'm desiring this of God. I'm inquiring, I'm pursuing, I'm seeking God. I want to be in your house all my life. Yeah. You see, we've taken the reverence out of it. We've taken the fear of God out of it. We've made it our decision, to our credit, to our glory. And we can throw in grace. And isn't it interesting how we can do something to our own credit and throw in all kinds of pious words, grace, yeah, love, faith. But do you what you're really saying as I did it? It's very interesting. All of Psalm 27 hinges on that thing there. That David said, I don't care whatever happens in my life. There's one thing I do more than anything else. There's one thing I go after from God more than anything else. God, keep me in your house. Amen. All the days of my life, let me die there. That was his prayer to God. This wasn't a, well, I've got a, one thing I'm going to tell you now is I've made this great decision and my God, I'm going to stick to it. He wasn't that stupid. You know, you get saved for a while, get in the ministry for a while, you soon see that a lot of very sincere people are gone. And you say, what happened? They made decisions. I made a decision. They're gone. Well, they made bad decisions. That's what you think. Now, isn't that a marvelous thing? That's what it looks like. Yeah. But that's not what happened. God removed them. I can give you some good scripture on that shortly. He took him out. He said, I don't want you there anymore. You don't belong in my house. Now, this is not a guilt trip sermon, but I want to revive our hearts here and say, you know something? Maybe you ought to reconsider why you're here and who you're looking to keep you here.
Yeah.
Well, I love the truth and you preach the truth. Honey, that's a lovely thing and that sounds good and I'm glad you've made those decisions, but I'm telling you, God's keeping you here. And if that ever becomes an unholy thing in your sight, you're on your way out. It's only a matter of time for some excuse. Someone will be blamed, something will happen, and you'll think it's that, but it won't be. I looked at a list of scriptures from the Psalms where the psalmist talked about his relationship to the house of God. Now, for David, everything else came second, but he said one thing. Let me give you some reasons from the Psalms quickly before I go any further. Psalm 48:9, we have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. When I went into the house of God, Lord, I couldn't help but think of your loving kindness to me, from you, through the Spirit of God and through people.
Yeah.
Then we know Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, goodness and mercy are to be following him to make sure he dwelled in the house of God forever. Look at Psalm 52:8, for example. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. You got me here. I'm trusting in mercy, God. Look at Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you that he may dwell in your courts.
Wow.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. You allow him to approach you in the temple. You allow him to come in. Psalm 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said, I don't care what job I have. Just, dear God, keep me in the house of God. Psalm 92:13, he exclaims, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And in 116:17-19, he says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all these people in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, I will praise the Lord. And finally, before we move on, he says in Psalm 26:8, Lord, I've loved the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. And perhaps that gives us a little insight into why he cried out to God and said, look, one thing I want more than anything else, I want to dwell in this house forever. Which, if you think about it, we go from dwelling, whether an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint, we go from dwelling in this house to dwelling in the house in heaven and on the new heaven and new earth. And it's where the glory is. Paul speaks of that beautifully in the New Testament. That Christ would bring glory to the Father in the house, in the assembly. He said, one thing I desire in verse 4 of Psalm 27, and I desire it of God, that I will seek this one thing from God, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. At that point, all the other scriptures around which this is built take on a whole new complexion and reveal what he found in the house of God, which I think is most interesting. Now, verses 1, 2, 3, and 13 and 14 are his hope-filled beginning on the subject and his hope-filled ending on the subject. To begin with, he says in verses 1 through 3, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. You see, in all of that leading up to saying, God, keep me in your house. That's why I can feel this way, verses 1 through 3. But look how he ends it, verses 13 through 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, hope, because of his place in the house of Almighty God. And he actually says seven things that he gets out of being in church. And in verses 4b and 5 and 6, and I'm going to give them to you. But I want to begin by saying this: happy day when God convinced us that the house of God was the place to be.
Yes.
It didn't take a move of brilliance, you know.
Right.
If that's God's house, that's, I guess I'm going to be there.
Right.
I loved it from day one, didn't know why. But I know I found out why pretty quickly. And I asked God, why am I delivering this message to my people? It sounds ridiculous. Am I preaching to the choir? He said, no. I'm doing things in people's hearts. And there's a prophetic word here for you. And your relationship here is based on God and you.
Amen.
And you better put the emphasis on God. And I think it's time for us all, in a brand new fashion, to say, my God, I'm taking the secular out of this decision. I'm taking the me out of this decision. Yeah, I made a decision, but my God, I couldn't have made that decision if it wasn't for you. Do you want me to give you some scriptures that show that? First of all, I'll give you the famous one that I preached the tar out of in my ignorance. I preached it correctly, but I was still in my ignorance how I approached it. In 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul reminds them, don't you dare hurt the house of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, he says to the church members, in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles, and I like the margin there, because it says destroys the temple of God. God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, just tell me here now that it's not a holy thing. It is. I'm not going to trouble it. I'm not going to trouble the house of God. But let me just show you something else here. First of all, in 1 John 2, you might want to look at this. 1 John chapter 2, he says something very interesting here about these church members that walked off in 1 John 2, 19. Actually, I'll do 18 and 19. 1 John 2, 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even from now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. Then he says of these members, verse 19, 1 John 2, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. That's the most sobering scripture I ever read. And I had to stop and say, God, I repent for hanging on to old memories of people I think are good and wonderful and beautiful and nice and misunderstood and God hurt. Horse feathers. There's who you blame. And then there's what really happened.
Right.
They went out because they didn't belong. That's rough talk. But I think it's time for us to discuss that. We're going to let go some people we're holding ourselves hostage to.
That's right.
Yeah. They didn't leave because of you or me. They left because they wanted to. I didn't leave, did you?
Right.
What, do you think you're better? Isn't that what the devil wants you? I'm better than them, I stayed. Oh, no, you're not. I know I'm not, for sure. No, but for the grace of Almighty God, there wafts me. That's not a scripture verse. But I saw something in 1 Corinthians 11, and then I'm going to move on. And this is supposed to be an inspiring message to give you hope.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm thankful for what God's put in my heart that I've responded to, aren't you?
Yes.
It's a sacred thing when God works in your heart. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, which we consider the scripture passage on the Lord's Supper, he says something very interesting in verses 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19. First of all, again, here's something else I'm putting on the top of the list here. When you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. Now listen to what he says about folks believing different things. Verse 19. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Wow. He says, you know, this is necessary. Because you're finding out who's been approved by God and who really belongs. But they don't. No, he says here, there are divisions, and I believe it. There must be factions then, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. They're going off with another crowd, with another person, with another idea, with another teaching, so that you can find out whom God has approved. And you have to come to the conclusion, well, the great earmark of approval then is, I'm here, aren't I?
Right.
And I'm here by the grace of God. That's the presumption.
That's right. Amen.
We all have plenty of options. Why don't we take them? But for the grace of God.
That's it.
So getting back to our Psalm 27, are you getting something out of this, folks? I do want it to be a blessing. Hope is in the house of God. We need to put a new premium on what God has done for us, to love the house of God and to be in it and choose to be in it all the days of our lives. That in our hearts we've said, one thing I desire, one thing I'm seeking after from God, and that is, I'll be here all the days of my life, as he says in verse 4. But now I want to quickly give you, before we get to the Lord's Supper, the seven things David got out of being in the house of God. He said, I want to be there to behold the beauty of the Lord. But the first thing he saw was, he saw Jesus. I want to behold the beauty of God. That's why I go to the house of God. I underline the word behold. I want to see God. I want to see the beauty of God. And that's Jesus. It reminds me of the scriptures. It says we look in the mirror. I come to church to look in the mirror and see Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And then the second word we underline is to inquire. That's the second reason he came to church, to ask God. God, would you speak to me in the services this morning? To inquire. Isn't this amazing?
Yes.
Then the third word we underline is hide. I come there for protection. Hide me, God. I'm in the house of God. Hide me. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He says it twice. We come to find protection from Jesus. We come to find his protection, not from him, but his, from him. Then the next word we underline on the last line of verse 5, set. He's going to establish you. Set me high upon a rock. He's going to establish you and make you secure and strong. Set me. He's going to set me. That's why I go to the house of God. Isn't that amazing?
What a thing. Hallelujah.
Then they go to verse 6 for number 5. And now my head shall be, underlined, lifted up above my enemies. And that word lifted in the Hebrew means honored. I'm going to be honored above my enemies. That's how I lift you above them, by the way. Nobody's saying, you dirty five sandwich eating. No, that's not lifting you above. That's cussing him out.
Right.
He's going to honor you above your enemies. What a beautiful thing.
Amen.
That's what I'm doing in the house of God. Yeah. Therefore, I will offer, that's number 6, I'm going to offer a sacrifice of joy. I'm bringing in glad sacrifices. I just love that.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in glad sacrifices to God.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't praise. He's going to do that in just a minute. Number 6. I'm going to bring glad sacrifices to God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Then he says, number 7, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises, underline praises. I'm also going to celebrate God. That's why I go to the house of God. I can celebrate him under a tree, but when I come into the house of God, all of the brothers and sisters are celebrating God with me. The Spirit of God's alive in our midst. What a blessing it is. And that's why I want to be there in the house of God. You look at that. Those are the 7 reasons we're here tonight.
Hallelujah.
To behold, to inquire, to hide, to set on high, to be lifted up, to offer the sacrifices of praise, joy, happy ones, and sing praises to God. And I love all of that. That's why we're here. There's hope in the house of God, and we want to show that. We want to give it the credit it's due, because it's happening. Now let's give it the credit. Let's give it the credit. So this is why verses 7 through 12 are the prayer he prays from the house of God. And it's a confident prayer. And I'm just going to read it because I don't want to get bogged down in it, because it's not important to me. We all pray different prayers in the house of God, don't we? Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to me, your face, Lord, I will seek. Isn't that something? You seek the face of God, the house of God. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. Boy, that's some serious praying happening in church that night.
True.
But he did this in the house of God. You know what I really believe God wants us to do is to see once again what a powerful place we are in, a posturing.
Yes, that's true.
When you're in the house of God, you're in a posturing. He's postured you in the right place. And that's why I said, one thing I do, man, I got many things going on in my life, and they're important and they're big. But there's one thing above the whole lot I seek and I desire from God.
Yeah.
That I spend the rest of my life in this place and don't become a sandwich eating blang dang fool and leave the place.
Yeah.
It's an act of God. It's an act of my decision empowered by God. It's me seeking and desiring. Perhaps that's what he's speaking to some about tonight. Are you still seeking and desiring from God to keep you strong in his house? There's a long list for. No seven things, by the way, you'll never get anywhere else. You cannot get anywhere else. God never designed it anywhere else. Go and talk to those who are trying to find it someplace else and see if they got it. They didn't. I think more than everything else, we just need a revival in the house of God. The people to wake up to the fact of the glory and the beauty of it all and say, you know, I didn't make this thing holy enough. I felt it was my decision and I couldn't hang on anymore. Mm-hmm. No, it's God's decision, and he will empower you. He will extend the grace to you. What do you desire?
Amen.
What do you desire? What are you seeking right now? Because that'll determine whether you stay in the house of God. What are you desiring and what are you seeking? Now, I don't mean the nonsense aside. What are you really desiring? What are you seeking? Perhaps tonight in this beautiful opportunity, he wants us to reevaluate what we're seeking and desiring. Not what we say we're seeking and desiring, or not what we seek and desire most of the time, because it's the crack, you know, in the damn wall that gushed all the water out and drowned the village down below. What are we really seeking and desiring? I think it's a magnificent time of the year to make a fresh decision, a commitment in our hearts to seek from God and to desire more than anything else. Number one, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. I want that, Lord. And then, and only then, can we begin to say, because, Lord, I want to behold your beauty. I got a lot of things I need to ask. I want to hide there when I'm in trouble. I want you to establish me, set me on this rock. I want you to honor me above my enemies for the sake of the gospel. I will offer joyous sacrifice to you, and I'll sing praises to you. I want to come into the house of God, and I want to sing praises to God in his house.
Amen.
That's what I want to do.
Amen.
Hope, the house of God. What a thing. What a beautiful thing. Let's just bow our heads for a minute as we tell God again tonight how blessed we are for what he's put in our hearts to put us in this place to make the decisions we've made over the years about the house of God. Lord, we come tonight to thank you for the work you've done in our hearts to seek and desire from you, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are glad to be in this house and in the next life, and the house in heaven. Ever do we wish tonight to say, we shall make this a reverent thing, the one thing, the big thing, to seek and desire with all of our hearts. For to help us, God, we wouldn't want anything to change this. Lord, we've seen many beloved people who we loved and respected who were better than us at times, who made big decisions, who miraculously came to your house and they're gone. Then we see what Paul had to say about why and what John had to say about why, and we shake and say, my God, they were not honest. Refresh our seeking and our desiring tonight, for we belong to you. And we belong here in this place. And by the grace of God, nothing will ever change that. We love you tonight, mighty God. We're full of hope. We love it. Praise God for me.